Today we're going to do number three of this series, Under God? And we're going to get into it. But first of all, I understand this week is a big week for our country and for all of us. And we get to elect the 46th president of the United States. Regardless of what side of the aisle you sit on and who you're voting for, how many know I want you to go out and vote, right? I want you to go and do your part. How many know we need to do our part? You say, well, I'm voting different than you do. How do you know? You don't know who I'm voting for. I ain't tell you. Or maybe I did. I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe we talked about it. It's okay. It's okay. But this is the thing, man. Our country was developed, was designed by our forefathers. And the pledge that they came up with, the Pledge of Allegiance, and we talked about that last week, how what year it was written and by who, and how Under God wasn't in it, how the United States wasn't in it until 1923. They added the United States, Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States. It wasn't until 54, I can't remember, 54, 57, something like that, that Under God was added in there. But how many of you know our principles, our nation is under God. He has blessed our country so much, man. And it's sometimes when you're blessed, you don't really see it a lot of times. Amen? Sometimes we walk in so much blessing that we don't really understand that we're there. And we wonder about our lives and what's going on. We get complacent. One of the things that's funny, and I know this to be true in my life. How many of you know, if you made $10,000, you would probably spend $10,001, right? And then if you got a raise to $15,000, you would probably start to then spend $15,001, right? That's how we do it, right? And you say, what does spending money and all that have to do with? We start to not understand how truly blessed we are because we're so blessed, right? How many of you know God is good to us? Far greater than we deserve. This week we're going to talk about indivisible. First week we talked about how this is not our home, one nation, but this is, even though we're a part of this nation, we're Christians first. Amen? Second week we talked about do you live under God or under culture? How many of you saw some ways that you were leaning more towards under culture this week than under God? Right, when you started to look at your life and see and examine where you were at. This week, we're going to talk about indivisible. And again, the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. We'll talk about liberty and justice next week. But the term indivisible means not divisible, right? You cannot divide it up. You can't take it and put it into separate parts. So you can't compartmentalize things, right? Indivisible means you can't do that. It's put together. How many of you ever had a toy? Didn't come apart unless you broke it, right? That's the only time it came apart was this. So it's incapable of being divided. How many of you know our country is very divided right now? So our Pledge of Allegiance and what it is, it was describing what we want to be, not what we are. How many of you know we need to work towards what we want to be in life? Amen? You guys with me? We need to work towards not being able to be divided as a country. Even further for us, as far as we take it from our country to our Christian family, our where we're from heaven, our home, right? Remember we're TAD here? I talked about that the first time. Y'all don't remember what it is? Go back and look it up. Week one, right? It was the cry of Jesus' heart that we would be unified, that we would all be together. Right? It was the center to his core values of what he believed is to bring unity, to bring restoration, not only between man with each other, but guess ultimately with God. Right? And when we have unity with God, when we have communion with God, our whole life changes. Our whole world changes. Jesus prayed often. So you read in scripture and you see where he went and prayed by himself, and he went and prayed here, he went and prayed here. There's only a couple times in scripture, four or five maybe, that we actually have his prayer that he prayed, right? And this is one of them we're going to talk about, John 17, 20 through 21, then I'm going to skip to 23. He says this, he says, I do not ask for these only. So he's praying to God, and he said, listen, I'm not only asking for these for me, he said, but also for those who will believe me in through their word, right? but also for those who will believe. So Jesus didn't stop at praying for himself. He didn't stop at praying just for the disciples. He went on to pray for who? You and me. The ones that will believe in the future, that will believe in the years to come. And then he prayed this, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, and I, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So why is it so important that we're unified? So that the world will know Jesus came from God. I in them and you in me, verse 23, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. So a unified body of Christ, a unified group of believers, bears witness to the true identity of who Jesus is, that he's the one that God sent to save the world from sin, to save the world from death. So the cry of Jesus' heart is that we would be unified, that we would be indivisible. How many of you know, if we look around, we see division everywhere in the church, right? Everywhere in the church. Jesus talked about it several different times in Scripture about how he wanted us to be unified. John 10, 14 through 16. It's not in your notes. You'll have to write that one down. John 10, 14 through 16. He talks about how the sheep know his voice and that they're one flock. There's one shepherd and one flock. How many of you know right now there's one shepherd but like 60 million flocks? Right? We're all divided as his body. And we go on looking at John 11:52. He said, not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So Jesus talked time and time and time again about unity in the body of Christ. Unity in the body of Christ. But the problem is that we get so we get in such a mindset as if you don't believe the way that I believe exactly, then you can't come to my party. Be honest. You can't come in my door because you don't believe the way I... So we get into... It's funny. You meet people and you find out they're Christians, and what's the first question they ask? Well, what church do you go to? What do you believe? Well, I believe that Jesus died for you and for me. Other than that, we can talk about it later. Right? It's the way it should be. It's the way it should be. But sadly, we're more divided than we are united. We're upset because there's video preachers. We're upset because people are preaching a feel-good message. We're upset because people are too hard on me and preach nothing but fire and brimstone. We're upset because they sing rock music in church, or we're upset because they sing hymns in church. We're upset because they don't have a baptismal and they go use a pool or a lake. You know what? You're right. You know, Jesus only baptized people in the pool in the temple, right? That's what he did, right? They don't have no stained glass in that church, or they spent too much money on the stained glass in that church. They should be ashamed of themselves, all right? They're not missional. They don't do any outreach, or all they do is outreach. They don't do any discipleship. You know, we can complain about all kinds of stuff in the church. We can look at everybody else and say, you don't do it like I do, so you are wrong. But how many of you know that's not what we're supposed to do as the church? That's not what we're supposed to do at the church, as the church. You know, today we even use the topics of today. We use the topics of today and say, if you don't believe the way I believe, then you're not a Christian. Well, man, I have one question for everyone who's, I don't want to be negative today. Y'all be like, you're too late, right? No, I don't want to be negative today. We're going to end off on a good note on exactly what and who Jesus is. That's where we're going to go to. But how many of you know we get so caught up in, I've heard people say, both sides of the aisle, if you don't vote the way I believe, I vote, then I beg to differ whether you're a Christian or not. right? And I've heard both sides say that, right? Both sides say that. And so you're sitting here, and my question on that, and to anyone, and to myself in that aspect, is who made me God to decide who's a Christian and who's not a Christian? Who made me the? When did God sit back and like, all right, Tobe, today's your day. You just decide who comes to me and who don't. Go. Right? It doesn't work that way. And we have become so far divided as the body of Christ that we can't do any work together, that we can't accomplish things together, right? Because we're worried about, well, if I do something, and then my people get with your people, and my people might come over and be your people, and then I don't have people. Like, look, you don't have people anyway. We're all God's children. These are His churches. He just lets us be a part of them, right? So let me say this. The church across the street, the church down the street, the churches all around town, they are not our enemy. They're not. The denominations, whether you're Baptist or Episcopalian or any of these other ones, Lutheran, any of those, they're not our enemy. We need to understand also, and you might not like this one, but it's okay. It's true. How many know sometimes we don't like truth? Do you know the people that hate God? They are not our enemy. They're people that we're supposed to love and reach, right? As the local church, we need to understand that the enemy that we have is a spiritual enemy, not a physical enemy. Scripture says we wrestle against flesh and blood, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, right? So if we want to look at our enemy, we need to look in a totally different place. And we need to understand that as far as the enemy, the scripture says he's a roaring lion walking around seeking who he may devour, right? So what he's doing is he's looking to steal our unity. He's looking to kill our churches. And he's looking to destroy the credibility of the church in the eyes of the world. How many of you know we give him plenty of ammunition to be able to do that? We give him plenty of ammunition to be able to do that. So we need to understand this morning that divided, we are weak and ineffective. We are, as the body of Christ. But if we would unite, we would be powerful and we would be unstoppable, according to Scripture. You say, where is that at? Remember the temple where they were trying to build the tower to the sky, the Tower of Babel, right? And he said, man, when they're one, they can accomplish anything. So as the church today, we got to look at ourselves and say, why on earth are we not accomplishing things? Why? Why as the body of Christ, are we not accomplishing things? And the statement, the truest, the only thing I can say about it in your notes, but we must unite. So I had a pastor the other day text me, call me. They want to do a praise and worship thing downtown coming up. Next year, I have another church in Claremont. One of the ladies I met at a birthday party in Claremont, she said, hey, we're going to do a praise thing in our park. We want you to come preach. We want you guys to come sing if you want to sing. We just want to get the churches together. How many of you know we need to be doing those things as the body of Christ? We need to be getting together and going So what does that have to do? That shows unity. That shows that we love each other. That shows that it's not about, well, you believe a little differently than me, so we can't hang out. It's not that way. Because number one in your notes, man, we desperately need each other. We cannot significantly impact the world alone. Even as Victory Church here, we cannot impact this community in a way if we got together with the one across the street and the church downtown and the ones in Eustis. If we would come together, we could make an impact in people's lives. But sadly, we let so many things pull us apart. We let so many things keep us away from each other. One of the main things that I want you to think about today, and understand there's a couple of them, but one of them is that you don't just go to church. We are the church. We are the body. We're the hands and feet, Scripture, right? We're the ones that show the world what Christ is. And if that thought, man, Sadly, listen to my words. With that thought, we show the world who Jesus is. Sadly, in the eyes of the world, Jesus is arrogant, self-righteous, and very condescending. That's who Jesus is when people look at the church. Just to be honest. I'm not talking about just Victory Church. Like, I'm talking about the whole church as a body. I mean, there's some good churches, some bad churches. There's some people who do things right. There's some people who do things wrong. But how many of you know, we don't get everything right all the time, to be honest. But if the world only sees Jesus through our actions, what kind of a Jesus do they see? What kind of a Jesus do they see? We need to come together. We need to come together in unity and understand that we desperately need each other. Romans 12:5 says, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individual members one of another." So think this thought. Some of us are the mouth. Some of us are the feet. Some of us are the brain. That one's not me. Some of us are the heart to pump and give life. Right? Some of us, we do different things that encourage each other to be able to do what they do. Right? You guys want me to come up with a joke to tell y'all so y'all be a little happier right now? Or like make you smile a little bit? I'm tell you some good stuff in a minute. I'm just going through the tough stuff right now. You guys get it? We are part of a body. And this is what we need to understand. Your part is important. Your part is important. What happens if one of my kidneys stops working? Like, it's okay, you got another one. Well, yes, okay, but guess what ends up happening? The lack of work of this kidney puts a strain on this kidney and the rest of my body, right? Can I function without one? Yes, I can. Can my body function the way it's supposed to? No. I like my fingers. I had a friend, he just cut his finger off on a saw, table saw. He like said, look down and his finger was on the floor. He's like, how did that happen, right? He's like, where'd the finger come from? Oh, wait, it's me, right? So it was a rough thing. Do you know what? It was on his right hand, which is his dominant hand. Do you know how much different it is? Try picking stuff up and not use this finger, not have this finger to do stuff with, right? It's weird. Can he function without it? Yes, but not as good as he could if he had it. Think of our spiritual body, the positions, the places that God has given to each one of us to do, right? If you're sitting there with a gift and not using it, the body of Christ isn't functioning properly. So we need to look at our lives and say, hey, God, what gift have you given me? And then, am I using it at all? Right? It doesn't do any good to have a gift and have it sit on the shelf and collect dust. There's a lot of gifts that are dusty right now in the body of Christ that are not being used. Whether it's because I don't have time, or it's because I don't really understand it, or it's because whatever excuse there is. I like the one my dad says, there's milk in the refrigerator. Like, what does that have to do with anything? It's just as good as every other excuse, right? Y'all get that in a minute. It's okay. So I saw two people laugh. Everybody else like, milk in the refrigerator? I don't understand. Wait. If you're not using your gift, then the body of Christ is not functioning properly. We need each other. We need each other. And we need to understand this too. Unity does not mean uniformity. Right? Unity does not mean you become someone else that is sitting next to you because you're a Christian. There is no cookie cutter Christian. Just gonna be real. Right? Whether you have long hair or short hair, you're tall or short and fat, right? It don't matter. You have a part to play. It's funny to me that the years ago, when you look back, Like when my dad first got saved, if you got saved, you started wearing a suit and a tie or a dress shirt and a tie and slacks to church. And if you didn't, you were in the wrong place. You need to find someplace else, right? That's how it was a long time ago. Some of y'all remember that, right? Today it's a bit different. Today, I mean, we got all kinds of ways. I don't see anybody. Well, Charles is sort of wearing a suit. He forgot his tie, right? That's how he lets loose. He takes his tie off, right? Like the weatherman and rolls his sleeves up. Way to go, Charles. I'm just saying, Charles, love you, man. Look, we come to church all different ways. I don't care what you wear to church, as long as everything is covered, you know? Come, worship God. Come be a part of our church. It was the craziest thing to me, and I've told you guys this before, but during Rita and Katrina, we had people that were displaced from New Orleans, and they came up, and they were living in hotels, and they only had what they carried out with them. So they had maybe two things of clothes, right? They didn't bring their church clothes. They left quick as they could because the water was coming up. Some of them came out on boats and different things like that, and they're in these hotels now, and we would come around with this big, it really wasn't big. It was like a 5x8 trailer, and we would load up both sides as high as we could with hygiene products and snacks and clothes and toothbrushes and all these different things, and we would put as much stuff in there, and then we would go and drop the back gate and open the side door and have them step up the side door and walk out the back gate with what they need it for their family. And we would invite them to church. Please come to our church. Please come. I know it's a little ways away. We would go 20 minutes from where our church was to find people to give stuff out. We'd say, please come to our church. They say, you don't understand. We can't come to your church. This is all we got. Right? Holy socks, flip-flops, shorts, shirts that are ripped and different things like that. We can't come to your church because this is what we have. I said, tell you what, my pastor, Pastor Phillips, said, tell you what, you come this Sunday, every one of my people in church are going to be wearing shorts and flip-flops and t-shirts so that you feel welcome. Because it's not about what you wear. It's about coming and allowing God to do something amazing in your life. Unity doesn't mean uniformity. There are some churches that use hymnals and sing hymns, and that's all they do with just an organ, and they are happy to have that. I love hymns. I would be miserable. I'm just being honest, right? That's not the style of music that I listen to on a regular basis. But you know what? If we had only country music played from up here, some of you guys would leave. Like, well, that's just not what I mean, I don't really care. Aaron, this one's for you. If we only had pop music playing from up here, he really likes pop music. You guys should get him some albums, right? He doesn't like pop music at all. If we only did that from up here, there would be people that'd be upset. Like, I ain't going there because that's how they are. Do you know what? We have different styles of churches for different people because we like different things. How many of you know, as long as the message is the same, the method of which it comes forth doesn't matter. God can use any method. He used a donkey. Just to be honest, he used a donkey to bring forth his. Well, I can't listen to a donkey. They're an animal. Okay, well, you're right. Just don't listen to what God had to say. If a donkey comes and starts talking to me, I'm going to be like, all right, God, whatever you want. Yes, yes, you want... Yes, I will go, right? Because that ain't normal. We can't be Baptist first or non-denominational first or Methodist or Lutheran or Charismatic. We can't be Republican Christian or Democrat Christian first. I figured I'd get a bigger amen. Some of you, maybe I need to say it again. We can't be a Republican Christian or a Democratic Christian first. We're Christ followers first. What if Jesus walked in somewhere and said, hey, this is what I got. Like, you don't believe me? Well, fine. Forget you then. I'm going to go over here. That's not what he did. He shared what he had. He told them things they had never heard before that were contrary to what they were brought up in. Amen? He's given us the ability to go and to do amazing things for him the way that we can do them the best. The way that we can do them the best. Like, some of you guys are amazing singers. Some of you, thank you for not singing, right? That's how it works. Some of you guys are amazing with kids. I love kids. So I went to a trunk or treat yesterday with my kids. Guess what? Within like 2 minutes, I was running one of their games. Like, I don't even go to that church. I'm like, here, kid, throw a cornhole thing. You can do it. Oh, that's the wrong color. You missed every single one of them. Try these black ones. Maybe you'll do. Yep, look, see, look, that was a trick. Like 5 minutes. Why? Because I like talking to people. I like having fun. I like doing things, right? That's me. My friend was standing there like, how do you do that, man? I'm like, I don't know. Just tell them you like their shoes. I don't know. Say something, right? Some people are cut out to do some things that others are not. The thing is that when we come together and I do what I'm cut out to do and you do what you're cut out to do, everything gets done. That's what happens when we come together in unity. I wonder sometimes what style of church God likes the best. Does he come into our church and be like, I don't really care for this one, but you guys are trying, so I'm going to give you A for effort, right? Well, I wish you sung more hymns to me. You know, I don't know. Which style is his? Do you know what style he wants? One where we come to him with a cheerful heart, as Christopher said earlier, where we love him. Where we come to him, where even if it's a song I don't like, I'm going to sing it to the best of my ability, because it's not about me and what I like in the worship time of service. It's about me being in God's presence and telling him how good he is. That's what the song service is about. Well, I didn't feel anything in song service today. Good thing it wasn't for you. I hope God felt something, because that's who we're singing to. That's what. This is the thing. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. He said, go into the world and do what? Tell them how they are not like you, so they're wrong. No. He said, preach the gospel. Tell them the good news. Tell them how amazing it is that I sent my son to die for you so that we could have communion. So that we could have fellowship, that no matter how jacked up you are, you could come into his presence. We tend to forget that when we see other people who are jacked up. Right? We tend to forget how jacked up we were when he forgave us. Right? So I was sitting having lunch with a friend of mine again and talking about how when I used to stumble in drunk and sit on the back row, he was still at home, passed out. That's how we were together. You know, that was the life we lived. Now we're both following Christ and talking to each other about how to overcome certain issues and how to do this and how this happened in my life and how did this happen in your life and going over scriptures and talking about how good God is. And I saw his mom last night with tears in her eyes saying, God answered my prayers. Look at my boy, right? We're supposed to go and to love people regardless of their past, regardless of where they're standing at right now. If we could just see people the way God sees them, right? He sees what we can be, not what we are, right? He sees what we can be, not what we are. If we would use that message with any method, people would come to him. If the church would come together and point out how good Jesus is instead of our next point. Y'all ready? I'm going to point number two. I don't know if I'm ready yet, but I'm just going to do it anyway. We need to err on the side of being for and not against. We need to give people that walk through that door the benefit of the doubt that they want to change and that God can do amazing things in their life. Because you know what? They can change and God can do amazing things in their life. If I'm going to make a mistake about other Christians, I want to believe the best in them and not the worst. I don't want to cast judgment on people that walk in these doors, people that I run into on the street. I want to look for potential in them that God has given to them, gifts. Scripture says, stir up the love and good works in each other. That's what the scripture tells us to do. Stir up the love and good works in each other. Right? We're supposed to be looking at everyone else and saying, how can I help Dwayne be exactly what God created him to be? And then not go tell Dwayne, you need to do this or you don't love God. Horrible. You're just horrible. Why did you fall down? You need to be this person. No. We need to go and say, D, what do you want to do? What gift has God given you? How can I help you use that gift? What can I do to help? If they say, just leave me alone, just leave them alone. Okay, I'll leave you alone. But we're supposed to find ways to build each other up and stir up the abilities and the gifts that God has given to each other. Instead, we look at people and say, they can't come to God. Look at their past. I don't think they're being honest. I think they're just using it as a ploy to get publicity. Do you know what? Every celebrity that comes to Christ, that's what's said about them. I'm just be real. Well, they're just using it so that people look at them and they're doing this and they're doing that and are they really Christians or are they not? Do you know, like the Kanye thing? All church, half the churches were like, yay, he came to Christ. The other people were like, he ain't real. He's just playing. He just wants to get people to buy his records. Come on, man. Oh. Do you know how many arguments I see online between Christians telling other Christians they can't be Christians because of what they do, what they believe, what they vote, right? How many know we need to leave those things alone? We don't need to be engaged in those things. Just be real. Just be honest. We need to love other people. Let's find the good things. Because again, I can do 100 good things and my day can be destroyed because I'm going to dwell on the one negative thing that I did. Right? Do you know what? I can forget the 100 amazing things Nick did to me and for me. And I can try and pick out one thing that he did wrong and me and Nick's relationship not be good anymore because I picked out one thing that happened. Right? No, nothing happened with me and Nick. I'm just saying. That was just using him as an example because he's right there. Right? But how many times do we do that? How many times do we do that to people we don't even know? Right? So, a dude cut me off the other day in traffic, and I was aggravated. And I pulled up next to him, and I really wanted to tell him how I felt about him. And as I looked over at him, he's like, I'm so sorry I didn't see you. Right? So my attitude directly was, he's being a jerk, he did it on purpose, right? How many of you do dumb stuff in your car and then think later, like, oh, man, I'm so sorry, man. You just about hit me, huh? I didn't mean to cut in front of you, right? But where do we go with our thought process to start with? We go negative before we go positive on a lot of things. As Christ followers, if we're going to be Christ-like, what do we need to do? We need to kick the negative out and don't even look at it, even if it's there on purpose, right? Okay, I thought y'all all left for a minute. I mean, I know I see you, but you may have zoned out or something. We need to look at the positive, amen? We need to focus on the positive. D.L. Moody said this, man, I think I put it on your paper. I did. You may find hundreds of fault finders among professed Christians, but all their criticism will not lead one solitary soul to Christ. Oh. How does the way that I pick at other people and tell them how horrible they are and how wrong they are, how they're not doing what God told them to do. How many of you know? They know they're not doing what God told them to do. Do you know why? Because God gave us the Holy Spirit to convict us. P.S., your middle name is not Holy Spirit. I'm just saying, right? Right? It's not our job to convict people and to tell them how horrible they are. It's our job to say God loves you no matter where you're at, and because he does, I do too. We're going to move along quickly. Number 3. Y'all ready to get excited? I hope so. I hope this gets you excited. I don't know. Number 3, we need to love like Jesus loved. We need to love our enemies. We need to love the people that we don't know if they're our enemies. We need to love the people who are our enemies, who profess to be our enemies. This is what Jesus said, John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So, you can have perfect theology. You can have a perfect style of worship. You can post the perfect political posts on Facebook that talk about how Jesus is good, right? And without love, it means nothing, Scripture says. Scripture says, if I don't love people, then everything I do is for nothing. That's a scary thing to think about, huh? This is another one. This one's highlighted. I got this one highlighted in my thing. It's bold print. It was not bold print. It's just highlighted. It says Jesus didn't say we have to be right. He said we have to be loving. We have to be loving. We cannot. Y'all ready? I'm sorry. As perfect as you are, you cannot be perfect all the time. But you can be loving all the time. You can. So is it okay that we have strong opinions? Absolutely. But how do we share those strong opinions? Do we share them in love? Or do we look at people and say, well, Jesus said if you want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. I'm just going to let you be ignorant because this is what I believe. Right? That's not the way to do it. I'm just be real. I mean, you see how you take scripture and make it do what y'all, anyway. Oh, y'all are tough this morning. I'm just telling y'all. What will grab the attention of people who don't know Jesus? The love that I have for everyone. The way that I share my issues. So I was at Publix the other day getting a sub. Sorry, maybe I shouldn't have said Publix. And I was getting a special kind. And not too many people get it. It's a garlic and herb tofu wrap, right? It was like, I don't get those kind of subs when I go to Publix. So apparently the lady was new, and she wasn't catching what I was saying. And it was getting difficult. And I was kind of getting frustrated because I'm like, look, you put that on. You're missing this. You're missing that. You need to have this and this. And I was trying to be, tell her what I wanted without being. And then she's like, well, I don't think I can do that. I was like, well, you can do it. You just have to charge me extra for it because I get it done at all the other Publixes I go to. So you can do this. Well, I'm going to go get my manager. I'm like, all right, go get it. And when I got done, somebody that was with me said, how on earth were you that nice the whole time in saying, you said exactly what you wanted, but you weren't mean in doing it. I was like, man, I thought I failed miserably, right? I was going to have to go repent and before I got in the car and ate my tofu wrap. You know, but it's one of those things. How many of you know you can disagree with somebody and do it in love? You can do it in a right manner, or you can be just as much of a jerk as the rest of the world and give Jesus a bad name because you proclaim to be Christian. Acts 4:32-34, I'm going to read those. It says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of these things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses, they sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold. The first church. We look at the church when it first began, and we look at it as it didn't have any issues, and it had everything together, and we read stuff like this and how amazing it is. And how many of you, if you read other places in the scripture, you realize just how jacked up their church was, same as ours sometimes, right? You see how they had issues on how to deal with things, how to do things, the way to do things right, on what how to interpret the scripture. They had all these issues, same as we do today. Right? But you also see some places that they got some things amazingly right. Now, I read that scripture. I ain't telling you to go sell everything you have and bring money to the church. That's not what I said. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying their love for one another was more than what they loved themselves. Right? They said, if you don't have, I'm going to do everything I can to go out of my way so that you do. Right? Now, the one thing that we don't read about here, and the one thing that I love about Second Harvest is where we get some food, our food that we do our food pantry with. Incidentally, man, if you want to be involved in that, please come see me. Please get involved. It's a lot of fun. It's some good stuff. But anyway, they have one statement that they made one year when I went and sat. So they bring all of the people who are part of the agencies together, and we all sit there, and they give out awards, and they do certain things about how this and how that. And I got a cooler one time that Dwayne still says it's his. It's not his. It's mine. But anyway. Yeah. Forever. No. Anyway, they made a statement one time that changed the way that I saw certain things. And they said this. They said, sometimes to take care of the needy, you have to take care of the greedy. Right? Sometimes, in order to take care of the people who are definitely in need, you have to just take care of everyone and pray that God is in it in what you do. Right? Why is it so important that we look at everybody that is in need and say, how can I help this person? You know what? I'm just going to be real. Don't be mad. Sometimes not giving people stuff is the best help they can get. Right? I'm not saying, well, my pastor said I don't have to give you nothing because it's best help you just me leave you hungry and thirsty on the side of the road. God will teach you. Just listen to him. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is sometimes we enable people in our lives instead of helping them because we're willing to give things. In saying that, that's why the Holy Spirit is a part of our life to help us know, do I give this person something? What's the best thing for me to do? Like I said, I love getting gift cards from food places. Here's $10 at Burger King. Well, I don't really like Burger King. Well, you can give it back. I'll find the next person, right? It's one of those things. I know that they're going to use food on Burger King because that's all you can use it for, right? So that's one way that I do it, man. I want to take care of you the best that I can, and this is what I can do, right? We need to find ways to help other people. We need to share the love that he's given inside of us for everyone. Amen? We see how people care. We see how people are in need, and we come together as the body of Christ to say, even so, I don't know if you believe in God. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you, and I do too, and I want to give you this, right? Maybe they believe in God. Maybe they don't. Maybe they never will. Guess what we're supposed to do? Plant seeds. We're supposed to plant seeds. We need to love the way Jesus loved. He didn't walk up to him and be like, well, I don't really think you're in need, so I'm going to pass by you. I'm going to go to the next one, right? He helped everybody that came to him and said, I need. That's why the premise behind our food pantry, man, people come and they say, hey, what do you have to have? I don't live in this county. I don't live here. I don't live there. I'm not on welfare. I'm not on these things. I'm like, do you need food? And they're like, well, yeah. I was like, everybody needs food. Everybody's welcome to come here, right? Everybody's welcome to come here. We don't put stipulations on it. We want to help. If you need it, come get it. Eat it, come get it for somebody else and give it to them, right? I pick up for three different families every month. I take it to them. Three different families. I know they can't come, they're working, they're doing different things. I do that, and they're grateful for it. Most of them bake me stuff. Somebody gave me an apple pie the other day, two of them. I'm just saying, they were really good. It came from those apples that we had, those bundles of apples. Man, great, right? We need to show people the love of Christ. We need to show people. We need to love people. So in thinking the thought that I talked about earlier, about if the world only sees Jesus in us, what do they see? I want to tell you who Jesus is just really quick. What time is it? I'm going to do it quick. I'm going to give you scriptures, and I want you to go home and look them up. You guys ready? You got to write them down. They're not on your paper. Who is Jesus? According to 3:16 and 17, he's my Savior and your Savior. According to Acts 10:38, he's our healer. According to Luke 23 and 34, Jesus is forgiving. According to 1 John 2:1, Jesus is our advocate. According to Hebrews 2:17, Jesus is merciful and he is faithful. And the last one that I'm going to give you is John 14:6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. As Christ followers, we're supposed to point people to these facts. Do you know what I hate about this election? I'm just going to be real. I'm going to get political. Y'all ready? Are you ready? Do you know what I hate about both sides on this presidential election? Neither side told me what they're going to do. Both sides told me how horrible the other one is. That's why you vote for me, because he's horrible. Both sides, right? I don't care how horrible the other person is. I want you to tell me what you're going to do. Do you know what? We spend so much time telling people how horrible they are, how horrible other churches are, how horrible things are, and we don't point to the fact of what Jesus is and what he did. We need to come together in unity on these points. Do you know what? These aren't the only points. There's hundreds more about what Jesus is and what he can do and what he wants to do that we're supposed to come together. But you know what? Until we start coming together on these as the body of Christ, we will never impact the world the way he designed us to. So my thought process for you today, are you ready? What do I need to do to make my life more Christ-like? What do I need to do to stand in unity with the brothers and sisters that God has given around me in this church, in this community, in my job, in the places that I go? How can I share the love of Jesus Christ with others? Don't look at the past. Don't look at what you did. Look at what can I do from this moment on, right? How can we come together in unity and impact this world for God? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Singers, come on up. Today, again, like I said, we have an amazing opportunity. We have the opportunity to say, hey, I messed up before. Hey, I may not have been that bad, but I got some areas that I can change, that I can fix, that I can grow. Hey, I need to be who God created me to be. I need to live a life that's worthy of the sacrifice of Christ that came and gave his life so that I could have access to the Father and I could impact this world for him. Each one of us is called to a ministry of reconciliation according to Scripture. Every single one of us. How are we going to do that? You would be honest to say, hey, my life isn't where it needs to be. I need to change. Maybe I've never given my life to Christ, or maybe I've given it to him, but I've started focusing on me and what I want and what I can do instead of loving God and loving people like he told me to do. And I want to change that today. I want to re-gear my mind. I want to change my heart, be renewed by the Holy Spirit, and I want to start impacting the world for God in a good way. I need to change some things, though. I want you to be honest and just put your hand up. I need some things to change in my life. Just put them up. Put them back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I need some things to change. Thank you. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, man, you saw our hands, but even more so than our hands going up, man, you see our hearts. You understand exactly who we are, the downfalls that we have, the issues that we have. And I thank you, God, that you put people beside me to help me in those areas, to help carry me through, to help pick me up and not kick me when I'm down, Father, to help
grow towards you. Help me grow towards you. Help us grow towards you, God. Help us today to come together in unity. Help us today to see your love, grace, and mercy in our life. And because of that, be able to give that to other people, Father. Help us with that now. As we get ready to go out these doors in a minute, let us see the opportunities that you've put in front of us to share who you are, to tell people how good you are. And sometimes, most of the time, not do it with our mouths, but in the way we treat people, in the way, the attitudes we give to people, even in the most difficult of times, Father. When people are being rude and mean to us, God, let us just share your love, grace, and mercy. In love, Father. We ask it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,